All right, I'm in Revelation 20. And I should have put a marker in there and I didn't. All right, go to the end and turn back a couple of pages, Andrew. So this year's been really quite interesting. I've started feeling in my heart that Jesus could come. I don't believe there's much of anything stopping him. In fact, he said if he didn't cut the tribulation short, no one could survive. The elect might not even survive. So he left deliberately the timing schedule up to his own choices because he said it was going to be his Father's choice. So one day, the Father's going to lean over to Jesus and say, the number of your bride is in, go get her. I think he's coming quickly when that happens. He wants to see us in person. And so when I look at the world, all of these ungodly things have gone global. A lot of really strange, bizarre behaviors gone global. And there's also been a great falling away, which they said would happen before, Paul said, before the coming of the Lord. And so, you know, I was telling Pastor that I talked to my heathen brother on the phone, and he's just about dead, so he's not well at all. And I said, well, 10 out of 10 get to die. He didn't like that. And I said, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm not miserable. My marriage is good. I love my boy. But man, I want to see Jesus. And it's okay. If you're set in eternity, there's no fear of anything that can happen here. And then he took the sting out of death to make it easier to get there. When we get there, we're going to say, I was living in a trash can. That's what Keith Green said. Right? So I've been thinking about this, and I was looking in Revelation 20. And we can start in verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Everything that you are going through now in your life as a disciple is preparing you to begin immortal eternity by ruling with Christ for 1,000 years on this earth. That's just the beginning. So everything that, well, the only thing you can take out of this world is what Christ has done in you and what Christ has done through you. Everything else gets to stay here and perish. We look at the world today, everybody is striving to have things and things they can see, but the Bible says everything you can see is temporal, everything you cannot see is eternal. And so people are just striving and existing and not pursuing the things that really matter. And what's going to happen is Jesus is going to come and we will be instantly changed. Our bodies, if we're alive, will be transformed. He's coming with 10,000s of his saints. So where did they come from? I had somebody ask me, now where did that 10,000s of saints come from? I said, well, when Jesus rose from the dead, he led captivity captive, and the saints, all the Old Testament saints came out of the grave, and they were actually seen walking in the streets of Jerusalem. And so then he took them to paradise with the thief that died on the cross. So he's coming with a crew, and there's a crew down here going to go up to meet him. That's going to be something. Then he's going to descend onto Mount Zion, and he'll rule in Jerusalem for 1,000 years because the new Jerusalem doesn't come down until chapter 21. Jerusalem as we know it now is where he's going to rule, and we will be ruling over those that were not given a glorified body because they weren't saved. So what will we be doing? We will be going around the world, ruling the world with a rod of iron. Nobody's getting away with anything. But we will also apply compassion where it's needed. That's what we're learning now. We will pray for people who need it. I believe people will be converted during this time, because after this time is the white throne judgment. And if your name's in the book of life, then they'll go to heaven. That is like the last harvest season is this 1,000-year reign. And that's going to be those people's chance to get their name in the book of life. I mean, what's amazing is you at the end of that 1,000 years, the devil's going to be let loose. I said, God, why did you do that? Why do you want to let that sucker out again? Because he always uses the devil to sift humanity. Because even the wicked would pretend submission to God. And so what he's going to do is let him sift out. And apparently a multitude are going to come up against Jerusalem and against Jesus. And they can see him. And they'll come a multitude as the sand of the sea. Not just the seashore, the sand of the sea. That's a multitude of people are going to come up, and he's going to consume them with the fire of his mouth. Then the white throne judgment comes. So you and I are in preparation for ruling and reigning. There is an element of authority we know we have now that will maximize when we are walking with him in that kingdom. Everything you are learning now about you, about other people, about ministering, all of that's going to be active during those 1,000 years. That means people will be living and dying. They'll still only be living till they're 70. So we are going to minister to generations in a glorified body. We have the first resurrection, right? The second death cannot touch us. It's a fabulous thing. And so I began to think about that. You know, what are we going to, if we're preparing to exercise authority, then we probably should be doing it now. So when COVID hit, I really got bummed out. And then when it was such a mess, I got really bummed out. And I started looking at this whole thing, and I said, God, what are you saying? And I'll be honest with you. He was saying maintenance, hold your ground, stand firm. But I wasn't hearing anything about anything in the future. And I kept waiting and listening. I just had my ear sort of going, okay, God, what are you saying? And it's been quiet for about 2 years until I got this. In Ezekiel 37... He spoke to me, Ezekiel 37. So I began to look at it. And so God comes in verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Kind of looks like the world today, doesn't it? And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And I said, that's exactly where I've been. I've been too afraid to make a statement of unbelief, but I haven't had a heart full of faith to make a statement of belief. I've been stuck in the middle, waiting, not really vacillating one way or the other, saying, God, what are you saying? Isn't that where we've been? Well, none of us have had some amazing statement of great things to come, and none of us have been running around. Well, some people did. They left the church. Jesus got rid of 5,000 with one statement and used 11 to change the world. So there's big hope in this room. Right? Can these bones live? Man, what a question. All of us have been walking around looking at how antichrist the world is, how our nation has gone downhill so quickly. We're looking every day at dismembered things, dysfunctional things, people that can't function like humans, let alone Christians. We're looking at governments and order and law and order being violated left, right, and center. And we're like, dear God, this looks bad. Can these bones live? He said, Lord, you know. I'm just sort of standing in the middle. I am not full of faith and I'm not full of unbelief, but I don't know. And God says it's time. It's time. Time for what? It's time to speak life. And if anybody can, it's the church. And if anybody can look at this nation and speak life to it, we have the right to do it. We are the hope of America. And we can say, God, we want the death to stop. We want the dying to stop. We want the decline in morality to stop. We speak life to America. And guess what happened? There was a noise. God, give us some Holy Ghost noise. And a rattling and a coming together. Why? Because this man of God spoke. So, thus says the Lord in verse 5, to these bones, surely I will come. I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath into you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Further down, it says that Israel believed they had been forsaken by God. They believed there was no hope. And God was coming to say, one, I haven't forgotten you. Two, I'm going to do a resurrection thing here. Three, my covenant still works. Hallelujah. And so we find that then he said, all of this came together and they had no breath. And that's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I believe we're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the baptism in the church again. That's what we need. That is dunamis power. That is a red phone to the presence of God. I mean, I can only pray in my understanding so long, I'll be honest with you. And then I get vainly repetitious, right? But when you pray in the Spirit and you sing in the Spirit, you've got a red telephone and you're saying, hello, God, and the Holy Ghost is praying the will of the Father through you. We ought to be hungering and thirsting for such breath to be breathed into us afresh. Amen? And so I want to say to you, firstly, speak life. There's life and death in the power of your tongue. My mother practiced witchcraft. And when my dad had an affair, my mother found evidence in his car. And she went out and pointed at the car, and I was there. I saw her do it. She said, I cursed that car. The next time he drove it within 100 yards of our house, he killed a 5-year-old boy. I know what demonic is. The Bible says you make the choice of whether you speak life or whether you speak death. And I want to encourage you this morning, when you get up and look in the mirror in the morning, speak life to you. Because if you don't speak life to you first, you've got nothing to give anybody else. We need to live. You need to speak life to yourself. Don't talk yourself down. Don't listen to the accuser of the brethren that wants to tell you you're getting old and fat. I just tell him he's going to look good on a barbecue skewer. I mean, there's two kinds of fire. There's the fires of hell and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen? I just tell that sucker he's going to burn. He needs to shut up. I'll pray something against him. Speak life. Speak life to you first, then speak life to your spouse. Marriages are in trouble. Why? Because we just want to live like the heathen and say whatever we want to say when we want to say it. And often we cannot pick up the pieces. Speak life to your spouse. I've told you before, at least once a month, I ask her to marry me again. Man, that's a sweet moment. And she says yes. After 40 years, she says yes. I'm going, God, what did you do to her brain? No, it's what he did to her heart that's amazing. Amen? Treasure and value the real things that really are important. Really important. Your spouse is for you, not against you. What the devil's trying to do is divide your prayers so your prayers have no effect. And if your marriage is divided and you pray for your children individually, they only get a fraction of what they could get if you prayed together corporately, or just husband and wife together. Another thing, speak life to your children. Boy, I've been in Walmart and heard a mouthful of stuff spoken to children that my dad said to me. I thought, wow, that tape's on replay. It wasn't good. Wasn't edifying. My dad told me to F off when I was 14, so I ran away. My mom talked me into coming back, but at 17, I made it stick. He never apologized. Broke my heart. Be very careful what comes out of this thing. Amen? It says that it sets on fire. And if you're not careful, it'll be set on fire by the pits of hell. So it can set on fire a whole forest. But also we can speak in the Holy Ghost and set the whole world on fire with the flame that purifies. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So God hasn't given up on his people. Things might look hopeless in some ways, but it's not true. The world's been bad before. Anyway, let me see if I got anything amazing here I missed. I think I'm done. Let's bow our heads. I want you to make a commitment to reading the Word of God. And when you read it, I want you to speak it out loud. Because every promise you read will become reality as you speak it out loud. Get a place by yourself, and I want you to commit to this. And don't feel condemned if you slip up here and there. That's not what I'm after. But as you speak the Word of God, it goes on a different disc in your brain. You remember it better, or I do. And as you speak the Word of God, it's going to change your mind, your heart, your emotions, your will, your passions. All of that is going to come into subjection to the spoken Word. And life's going to change for the better. And then you're going to arm yourself to speak life to people. Amen? It's one other thing. You can open your eyes. We haven't prayed yet because I got my last point. I just remembered it. An army stood up. A multitude stood up. You think of all the people that have walked away from church in America. I don't know about you, but at first when I saw them in Walmart, I criticized them. I didn't feel so kindly toward them because they had forsaken the faith, it seemed. What if God wants you and I to speak life to backsliders? The ones you know, the ones you see in your mind when you're praying, and the ones that God brings before you. What if we spoke life to them? God, let them live. Let them repent and live and be better in Jesus than they ever were before. Apparently, that's what God likes to do. Amen? We want to speak life to them. And how would America be affected if all those people came back to the Lord and started witnessing like we should have been for the last 30 years? Because the church stopped witnessing about 30 years ago that I'm aware of. Because people got a little bit afraid of the humanistic thinking and the garbage the world was coming up with. Anyway, if you want to give your heart to God, give your heart to God. You don't have to do anything religious. You can do it right where you are. You can say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Fill me. And he'll come. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, I'll come sup with them. Great promise. Amen. But I want you to walk out of here with these words etched by the Holy Spirit, that we might go and change our homes, our marriages, change the way we speak to our children, change our neighborhoods, change our cities, change our states, and change this country back to the foundation it was built on. Amen? From a heathen perspective, America was built on mammon. But there was a lot of scripture and a lot of godliness in the founding of this country by godly people who believed the word. Amen. Father, seal your word in our hearts. Don't let us lose it. Don't let it be shallow, stolen, choked. But let it bear 160 and 30-fold. In Jesus' name, amen.